slave ships.
There are more records of slave ships than one would dream. It seems inconceivable. Until you reflect it, for 200 years, ships sailed carrying cargo of slaves.
What's up? Bob Kelly. Doing another, you know what, dude? Podcast.
In fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.
Oh shit. And I'm here with Joe DeRosa.
Yeah.
And he picked this song.
Yeah.
Because we know how fucking hip Joe DeRosa is. Joe DeRosa is fucking hip hop. Fucking rapper.
I didn't know you were gonna play the whole slave ships intro.
That was actually for me. But so check it, man. I'm here with Joe. What's up, man? We're doing another podcast. Maybe you might. It's You Know What, Dude podcast. Maybe you want to say that because you're so well at
you
it.
You know what, dude? It's my fucking podcast.
Anyways, so first of all, let's get it out this right up front. We're going to say it again and talk about it at the end. But you're headlining this weekend in New York City.
Yeah.
Gotham
Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow night.
Friday tonight.
Yeah.
Saturday night two shows. Tonight two shows.
Tonight two. Tomorrow three.
And who's on the show with you?
I'm not sure everybody on with me. I know John Fish is hosting, and he's a funny guy, so it'll be a good show.
You know, John Fish. I used to be a counselor at a Jewish camp, and he was one of the kids there.
Really?
Yeah, he was a little Jewy kid at the Camp Bowercrest in Amesbury, Massachusetts. And I was the swim instructor. I was a lifeguard.
Your job has changed three times.
No, I was... Well, you're a camp counselor. You live there for 2 months, for the whole summer. And my job during the day was to teach kids how to swim.
Okay.
I was a lifeguard.
All right. When you said counselor, I thought you meant like a drug counselor.
No. I had a kid for the kids.
Yeah, it's...
But I actually had the guard shorts... And I have a photo of me. If I could find this photo, oh my God. It's a photo of me, my shirt off, sunglasses on, pointing at my guard short, and I was shredded. Shredded.
What are guard shorts?
Lifeguard shorts. The orange shirts that says guard on the side. And this is the funny thing is, though, it was a camp, so nobody had, no lifeguards had those. They just had regular swim trunks. But I went out and bought the shorts. I'm a fucking homo.
That's so you, dude. That's such a fucking Bob Kelly move.
I'll tell you what else. You know what my nickname I gave myself?
Please. What?
Shades.
Oh,
Do you know why?
Why?
Remember the cassette boxes you used to put your cassettes in, a little briefcase?
Mm-hmm.
I took all the cassette holders out, and I would buy sunglasses, but not expensive ones, the ones at the gas stations.
Yeah.
And I had like maybe 20 different sunglasses, and I'd put them in the box, and inside in graffiti I wrote Shades.
Oh my God.
So every morning I would wake up to go down to the docks to teach swimming, I would pick out a different, Shades would pick out a different pair of sunglasses.
Oh my God, dude, that's fucking douchey, man.
That's my nickname, Shades.
I'm calling you that from now on.
Shades Kelly.
Oh my God, dude, Shades. Does anybody know about that?
No.
Yeah, you... God damn it. And you're blabbing about it on your podcast. Now yeah. We can't make fun of it.
Dude, what are you talking about? I fucking tell everybody everything. I was on Marc Maron podcast talking about getting my ass eaten, and you had to fucking squeal out that I told her to eat it like a pussy. There's nothing sacred with you, Joe. Let's just put it that way.
I didn't leak that. You said it first.
I said it to you. I said I get my ass eaten. You're not a real man unless you get your fucking ass. And you said, yeah, tell him the story when you told the girl that you told her to eat your pussy.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you did, Joe.
I thought you said it. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, really? That's hilarious. Yeah, I didn't even know.
Nothing sacred with you. Even the other day when we were fucking going to Pinkberry. And I was just trying to get it, because I like Pinkberry.
I know you do.
And you wanted to go to fucking Cold Stones to get that fucking way too sweet, creamy fucking gelato.
Cake batter.
Whatever.
Dude, it's the greatest.
It's fucking too rich.
Oh, too rich. Fuck you. It's too rich. You can't have it, and now you're saying it's too rich. You know you love it.
Yeah, but you know the thing is, man, is that you took it on stage, and you did the fucking joke.
I didn't say your name.
You didn't say my name. I'm the only fat friend you have.
And I did it downtown in the alt rooms. I did it in other territory.
So nobody will ever hear it. I
didn't do it at the Cellar.
Yeah, okay, here's the fucking deal. I think I actually have the joke. I actually have you doing the fucking joke, which will really fuck. And this is the thing that really, I didn't mind you really talking about the fucking joke or doing the joke. What bugged me is that you fucking, you made it out to, like, you were a fucking, oh my God, guy. You were fucking skinny and had your shit together.
Well, yeah.
That's what bugged me. All right, here's the fucking joke.
You gotta eat there, because you're fat. I've been blessed with a high metabolism. I have gifts, and those gifts include eating chicken McNuggets on my back as I'm falling asleep. Okay? I'm gonna keep doing that. At a foot of the Pinkberry, I'll get the Cold Stone Creamery, having chicken McNuggets mixed into my cake batter ice cream.
First of all, let's just talk about, you don't have, what gifts were you given?
I can eat Cold Stone.
No, you can't.
Yes, I
can. You shouldn't either. If you were to take your shirt off in public, people would fucking throw up. You don't have a good body, Joe. Stop. Your hips are too wide. You're too tall. You have
right.
no shoulders.
Right.
You have a girl who just got her tits, right. like those little volcano titties.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
You have a belly.
Uh-huh.
You're fat.
Uh-huh.
And your fingers are too long.
But when I put clothing on, you can't tell any of that.
Listen, that's not true. All right, listen. So what you're saying is when I put clothing on, you still tell I'm fat. All right.
I didn't
fucking,
say it.
All right. Well, fucking. Listen. You have to wear like suit jackets from the 80s.
I know.
Because they have to have shoulder pads.
I know. That's why I like wearing suits.
You have to wear like superhero outfits just to make you look like you have a nice body.
You know what's funny, dude? I didn't even realize it. Immediately after I did that bit, I did another bit about sex or whatever. And I said, in that bit, I make fun of how awful my body is. Of course, our good buddy Morgan Murphy didn't tape that part. She only taped the part where I was trashing you and then deceitfully fucking sent it to you.
I thought it was a friend. She's a friend. She's a real friend.
Oh, she's not a friend. She's rotten. She did it to get a rise out of you. That's
yeah,
not a friend.
She did. She got a fucking goddamn rise. The only thing that bugged me is that I was blessed. You haven't been blessed with anything.
I know.
The only credit I'll give you is you have fantastic eyes. I can't even look at it.
Oh, can you not when we're sitting alone in your fucking apartment, please?
Listen, you refer to me as Shades.
Holding that long cigarette, telling me that I have fantastic eyes.
So, so let's move on to the movie. Our movie's done.
Yeah.
Shooting Angles.
Yeah.
Written, directed, produced.
Yeah, we did it all. We did it all.
You did a fantastic job.
So did you.
And we're entering into festivals now. But when do you think we're going to be able to let, you know, all these people, you know, the fans, our fans, listen to the to actually see the movie?
Well, the first submission goes out. In fact, I talked to Andres, the DP, today.
Who's fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. Yeah. So he's uploading.
He looks like a fucking Dutch pedophile, but he's fucking he's fucking a really good.
He doesn't look
job.
Like a painter, doesn't
oh,
he?
Oh, he's just always hot. His hair is just always just hot.
You mean hot like sweaty.
Yeah, sweaty hot. Like he just ate like way too much chocolate and it's like 98 degrees out.
Yeah. He's uploading the first submission this week. So as long as there's no rules about us, we can screen it somewhere. We're going to screen it somewhere soon. I would say before Christmas, like the screening will go up and we'll do it. Like
right.
I would think that would be
we'll probably do it in the
possible.
City somewhere.
Yeah, New York. We'll
right,
definitely
well,
do it.
It
in
came
York.
Out fucking great.
It came out great, and we're working on the feature now.
Yep, working on the feature.
The script for feature, and we're due to. We're like a third done the script. It's like we're almost done the first act. So
yeah,
that's exciting, man. I'm really happy with that so far.
Yeah, me too. You know what it is that as comics, especially guys like us, who make a living doing comedy, sometimes you talk all the time about, oh, that'd be fun. We should film that. We should do, and you talk and talk, and we finally were like, fuck it, let's just do it, and we did it, which was great. And that all stemmed. The whole movie stems from a conversation me and you had in a fucking diner.
Yeah.
Having breakfast where you just needed my help cheating on some broad. I hope she doesn't hear this. But doesn't matter. No, you go through fucking broads like fucking. I go through fucking cupcakes.
All right. Well, that's nice for everybody to know.
That's a compliment.
In case any one of your listeners wanted to bang me.
It has nothing to do with you being a scumbag. It has to do with your fucking just fucking who you are.
All right. I can't tell.
It's not really. It's just. Look, Joe.
It is what it is.
I'll explain to the people. I first time I ever met you, I knew who you were. We were in a strip club, Albany. First time I really hung out with you. And this strip club was literally, I think it was a Subway sub shop before it was there. It was just a storefront with the windows blacked out.
It was a house. It was a house they turned into a strip club, like a row home.
And a row home?
Yeah. So, see, you know what I mean now?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So we go in, it's the shithole. It's just us and some creepy guy.
Uh-huh.
It's so dead, they wound up locking the doors and letting us smoke cigarettes. And then they did this thing where they put two girls in the dance pit. And they would fucking start doing all this crazy shit, licking each other's pussies and grinding. And as they did that, and they got more into it, they'd lower the lights and lower the music to where you couldn't see. And to get the lights back up, to see them eating each other's boxes and fucking doing this crazy shit, you'd have to throw money into the pit. So they bring it down. It was the best fucking technique I've ever seen in a strip club.
It was brilliant.
Oh, because we didn't want anything to do with any of these fucking four and a halves until they were just eating each other's assholes, and the light would go down, everything, all of a sudden, so you can't see, and then we just start throwing dollars in the pit, and the music would just fucking just come back up, and then they'd slowly bring it back down. I remember that shit.
Unreal.
And then right at the end, they were like, okay, $2 lap dance. No, what was it?
Two for one
lap dances. Everybody went up except me. I bought my token.
Yeah.
I bought my $2, but I didn't go.
Right.
Because I hate fucking strip clubs. I hate lap dances. I'm way too much of a fucking dirtball to even acknowledge that shit. It does nothing for me. I see through it. I know what they're doing. It fucking stinks.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Which is how I feel now, but back then I was hooked.
Right. Yeah. You went upstairs. 5 minutes later, you come back down. You're the only one that comes back down. Everybody's upstairs. You come back down, and you're complaining to the manager of the shittiest strip club on earth that she didn't what?
Well, no, this is what happened. This is where the misunderstanding occurred. In hindsight, I should have not argued at all, obviously.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Not even thinking, this could be mob run, they could bring me in the back like casino and break my hand with a hammer. Right. Like, I didn't even think of any of that. We went upstairs, and she danced for one dance, and she goes, all right. I go, wait, is that it? And she goes, yeah, that's it. And I go, no, it's two for one. And she goes, no, one counts as your admission into this private room, and one's a dance. And I go, but you didn't even do anything. You just danced in front of me for like 3 minutes. Like, what was the point of this? And then she took that and fucking ran with it. And as I was arguing with the manager about the two for one,
right?
You know, the ethics of two for one and what that means.
Yeah, the ethics. Good word.
Yeah. She came down and started going, this fucking pervert wants me to grind on him up there. And he's mad that I didn't grind on him. And then I was like, no, that's not. Wait. That's not what I said. And then the manager starts going, what do you want him to grind all over you? What are you, a fucking pervert? And then remember all the chicks came out? Every chick stopped dancing. They all stood there and looked at me.
The thing that I remember the most when you go, I didn't say grind. You're using the word grind. Why do you keep saying grind? You're actually arguing him using the word grind.
Yeah.
And he was getting so angry. Finally, I walked over and just gave you.
He gave me $20.
I gave you the money. I was like, here, just fucking take the money. But that's when I knew who you were. The fact that you wouldn't take the hit and you had to get your fucking point. It wasn't about the grind. It was that they fucking advertised 2-for-1. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it bothered me. And then this is the funny part. Now, first of all, the reason I argued it so much was because, dude, I was broke, man. I was brand new in the city. It was my second week in the city. I probably had $300 to my name, literally. And I was like, man, I want to get a lap dance. I shouldn't do it. And then you were like, just fucking do it, dude. Come on, man. You know, like, being the devil, right? So I'm like, all right. So I went and did it. And then I got gypped. And I'm like, I shouldn't have spent that money. And that's all doing that shit, whatever, in my head. So this is the funniest part, though. They didn't let us smoke until I was up in that room. When I was up in that room was when they put the ashtrays out. And it was right after they passed the smoking ban in New York.
Right.
And again, that huge argument. You come over. You give me the $20. You end it. I walk back to the table, there's an ashtray out, and you're smoking, and I go, how come they're letting us smoke in here? And you go, because they liked us until you came along, you fucking hump.
Ah, shit.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny, man.
Well, it's so funny that you bring up the being broke, man. I remember, I don't know when I moved to New York City, man, I remember... I was so broke. I had a token and $2 in my pocket. No, $1.50 or $2 or something like that. And I used to walk home from the Boston every night to go over to Astor Place to get the train up to 97th Street. Mm-hmm. And I remember every once in a while, I would treat myself to this fucking chocolate-covered pretzel in this little shit diner over there. They had these big, huge chocolate-covered pretzels.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I would treat that would be my thing, like my big treat.
Right.
And I walked over, I saw it, and I knew I had a token, and I had the $2. That's all I had to my name. And I got the chocolate-covered pretzel, and I'm eating it. I go down to this fucking thing. I didn't have the token. I remembered that the $2 was to get a token. I had to walk fucking 97 blocks. 97 blocks at like 2 in the morning. I was exhausted. I didn't even get on at the Boston. I was just hanging out. It was like that new to the city. I walked all the way up 3rd Ave. But the thing that was weird is right when I got to 96th Street and 3rd, this friend of mine walks by crossing the street. We met at that exact when we were at a falling out. And we met at like fucking 4 in the morning. At 96 and 3rd, and I was like, what's up? He's like, what are you doing? And we actually became friends again.
Really?
Yeah, it was fucking weird.
There you go.
That's kind of crazy, right?
Things happen for a reason, I guess.
Yeah.
How much was the pretzel? $2?
It was $1.50. I had 50 cents.
Dude, it was fucked up, man. Like, this was like the... When you first moved here to do this comedy shit, it was... Dude, you're so fucking broke. Dude, I remember after being here for... Christ, dude, like a year and a half, maybe, going to see Hellboy with Kurt and Jay Oakerson when I lived with Jay. We went to see Hellboy, and we went to TGI Fridays before and got lunch, and I was able to afford both things and not be fucking asshole broke afterwards, and I was like,
oh, yeah.
Holy shit, I can't believe it. Like, I can't believe I was able to spend $20 today and, like, not worry about it. Like, that was... And I still probably only had... $500 in my bank account, whatever it is, you know, but it was like, I felt like a fucking rich man, dude.
Well, you know, that's why, like, I was talking to somebody about, like, in the last maybe 10 years, why my weight's been more of an issue, why I go up and down so much, is that I can fucking go into any restaurant, anywhere I want in the world, and fucking get food.
Yeah.
I didn't have that option when I moved. For most of my life, I didn't have that option. I had to fucking get, you know... deli meats or whatever the fuck, little Chinese fucking lunch specials. I couldn't go to get food unless somebody was taking me.
Yeah.
I mean, even back in Beantown when I was doing comedy, I used to date chicks that would take me out. You know, even Dawn, when I first met my wife, she'd be like, I want to go to Fridays. I'd be like, I ain't got any money. And she'd take me.
Jeez.
I'd always have people take. I just didn't have the cash. Especially when we moved to New York City, I didn't have cash. But now I can fucking order whatever the fuck I want. And that's like a kid in a candy store shit. It's like, I can just buy whatever the fuck I want. So it's like, you know, yeah, I'll go get a fucking steak or fucking go to some fucking Chinese restaurant and order all of it.
It is incredible, man. Like, because even now when I have,
I mean, like, this is the kind of business where you're going to have money panics here and there. And it's like, even now when I have money panics where I'm like, shit, I got to get more work on the books, I still take cabs and get a sandwich every night on the way home and don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, well, no, I can live my life. I can live how the fuck I want to live.
Right.
I just, you know, I got to, you know, throw some more work down. It, there, you know, but those days where you're like, I literally have to, I have to go to McDonald's because I can buy three things on the dollar menu. That's it. That's all I can afford.
Yeah.
Dollar fry, dollar Coke.
Yeah. I remember taking a cab for the. I remember taking a cab. Masavia gave me $20 one night for doing a spot. He paid me. First fucking time ever. And I got to take a cab home. And I was like in a fucking limousine, dude. I was looking out the window. I had fucking like Frank Sinatra music in my head. Like, you know, fantasizing about I'll live there someday, I'll doing all that fucking homo shit. You know what I mean? Just kind of lying back in the fucking cab limo going up to 97th Street. But I remember that I had to get out like a couple blocks before because I wouldn't have enough money to tip the guy.
Right.
And I needed some money to get some food tomorrow. So it was fucking crazy, man.
But did part of you, the little part of you, were you like, I could take a cab or get 15 chocolate pretzels?
Nah, dude. That Subway was brutal, man.
Oh, it's horrible, dude.
Especially that time of night. You're waiting 45 minutes, and in the summer it was 110 degrees in the Subway.
It's horrible, dude. I used to walk from, I didn't go to Astor. I when I lived in Harlem, I used to have to walk from the Boston over to Christopher Street and get the one. And they'll get the fucking one, dude, from Christopher Street all the way to 137th, dude, at like 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. If you're trying to get pussy, forget about it, dude. Like, you, dude, that's what's crazy. When I was broke and lived in Harlem, Harlem broke, dude, my game was so much better than it is now with girls, dude, because I had so many more hurdles I had to jump over to get laid.
Dude, I lived on 97th Street in that shitty apartment with cockroaches. My game was huge. I used to get chicks to blow me in doorways downtown because I knew they wouldn't come uptown. And I didn't want to, they wouldn't want to come to my place. So I used to, like, fucking get a, we'd walk around the East Village and I would find these vestibules that you could fucking kind of go down in, and I just get them to suck my cock in those things.
Yeah, I was big. You know what I was big on back then was the, was like the pairing up, like two chicks and two dudes. You know what I mean? Like, I'd find a guy, like, dude, come with me, wingman me on this shit. Is that I knew I could split the cab with the dude to get the chicks back up there. Now I'm like, get the fuck out of here, man. You know, like, I'm solo. You know? Yeah. But
well, you got a fucking slamming pad now.
Yeah, now I'm in a good spot. That was the best feeling ever, dude. That was the best feeling ever. The apartment I live in now was the first time ever. It wasn't the first time I lived alone. I lived alone when I had a job in Texas. But it was the first time I lived alone in New York. It was the first time I had lived alone in years and years and years and years. And it's definitely the nicest place I've ever lived in.
Right.
And, dude, the first time a chick went in there and went, nice, oh, wow. Well, right. I was like, oh, this is...
Oh, dude, you know, I love my wife. I love being married. I really do. I've never been happier.
Right.
Okay? But if I was single right now, with this apartment, with my shower, with that big king bed and that plasma, and the plasma up here, dude, do you know how much fucking box I would get?
Yeah.
Do you know how much fucking pussy I would get? I'm in Midtown Manhattan. Okay? I'm fucking $8 in a cab in any direction. I get a fucking duplex. You get to go downstairs in my place.
Yeah.
And that shower. 5 shower heads. Bench. Fucking TV.
Shower infuriates me.
Really
I'm
nice.
So jealous of it. This fucking brick wall alone, dude. If I was a chick, I saw that brick wall, I'd be it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That'd be it.
All right, so anyways, let's move on. I actually wanted to talk to you about, I have Twitter.
Yeah.
I have Facebook. MySpace, I don't even fucking use anymore.
Uh-huh.
But you have a Twitter account.
Yeah.
You have a Facebook.
Yeah.
Do you fuck with your Twitter?
You know, dude, I'm not that good at it, man. I just, I don't
want
to do
it. Not that good at it. Exactly. Good at what? This is what fucking infuriates me. There's people out there that expect us as comics to fucking... quip in 140 characters to say something fucking funny every single time. Yeah. Or to make them, so they can, look, you know, fucking.
I don't have the energy for it. It's like, I like, you know, it's like, I like picking my spots. It's like, if there's an opportunity to be funny, I try to be funny. If there's not, I'm not fucking forcing it. It's like, I don't feel like walking around typing funny shit into the Twitter all day
long. Yeah, but the thing is that, you know, you forget that, you know, Twitter is a way to keep in touch with my fans, the people that like my comedy or like my acting and want to fucking support that.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm on there, to let you know where I'm going to be, what I'm doing. And I occasionally say some fucked up shit or give my opinion on something. Or, you know, sometimes I do my UFC picks. And sometimes, I'll put a video up there or a fucking photo. But it infuriates me when you get these fucking douchebags. First of all, they correct my spelling. This fucking bug. You know, and it's not even... I don't mind the fucking wrong spelling. I do mind that. If you're literally reading it, it's the where
right.
two. You know, it's not that weird, stupid, or it's not that too. If you read the fucking thing and you got it, shut the fuck up. Okay? You fucking spelling Nazi. You fucking really? I didn't go to fucking school. I was in juvie jail. I went to high school. I had a guy lie and make credits up for me so I could fucking graduate high school.
Jesus,
you know what I mean?
Christ. Can I just tell you how to spell yeah, please?
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
The word yeah. You always write YA apostrophe. Like yeah. YEAH.
When did I ever say yeah?
Always, dude. You always text me and you write yeah. And I always think you're saying yeah. I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about?
You know what? You're one of the people I hate. I fucking hope you die.
No, that one throws me off, dude.
Yeah, you,
I don't know
but
what it
you
is.
You know what I mean. You know me. You know what I mean. That's so funny. Stop for 1 second. The fact that I'm smashing these fucking douchebags, and you're one of them.
We don't know what you mean. Burr read me a text from you one day. Where he texted you a picture of a burger with an egg on it.
Yeah.
And he goes, look what Bobby wrote me back. And he's trying to read it to me legitimately. He's not busting balls. And he's going, fuck yeah, dude. And he's reading it all wrong. And I go, what the fuck does that? Yeah. I think he means yeah.
What is it again?
Y-E-A-H. Please. That's the only
one.
All
right. W-E-A-R. Is to wear clothes.
That's right.
W-E-R apostrophe. That's what I was about to say. Apostrophe E.
No. W-E-apostrophe-R-E.
Yeah, W-E-apostrophe-R-E.
Yeah.
Is wear going to dinner.
Yeah.
And then where, like where it is W-H-E-R-E.
That's right.
Okay. I got it. All right. To the number T... W-O.
Yeah.
Two as in two, T-O.
Yep.
And then two...
Me too.
Me too is T-O-O.
That's right.
I'm good.
There you go.
Stop fucking with me.
I'm not.
You know what? Sometimes you fuck up too because you're typing on a fucking iPhone and it spell corrects it and I'm just fucking blah, 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 and I just hit the send button and then you get these fucking cunts that... and there's people out there that follow you too, but they're not fans. They're just following you to be because they want to fucking catch you. They just want to catch you make a mistake, or they want to catch you say something not funny.
Yeah.
They want to just be there to fucking correct you, and you are a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, some guy wrote to me the other day on Twitter. He goes, "For a funny guy, your tweets are really boring." And I was like, "Dude, I don't give a fuck." And then this fucking chick last night. I was on Red Eye last night. Three fucking tweets. One was like, DeRosa's on tonight, he'll say something horrid and then like have to apologize for it tomorrow. I don't even know what that means. I will say something horrid. I've never apologized for it the next day anywhere, so I don't know what the fuck that meant. Then another one, it's like despite the fact that I think Joe's opinions are questionable, I think he's kind of funny. Like, this one chick kept battling me, and it's like,
I don't get you. I don't get how you give somebody the fucking compliment. And then you trash them. It's like, just unfollow. Just unfollow. fucking follow me.
You know why?
Stop following me.
You know why people give compliments and then trash and vice versa?
Because they want...
Because they can't... They come from the regular world where you have to play politics. You have to play both sides of the coin. Everything's got to be diplomatic. They're the people that, like, if they were in the room with us right now and we got into one of our arguments, they would go, all right, guys, everybody... And we would both go, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Yeah. We team up in the middle of an argument.
I also think it's the fact that they're anonymous. You'll never know where they are. You'll never meet them. You never get to see them. We're not anonymous. We're out there. You know where we are. You know where I'm going to be. You know everything about me. I mean, that's the type of guys we are. You know, my act is all about me. I'm not making up fucking little fucking jokes.
Yeah.
I'm telling you the way I feel about shit or shit that happened to me. We're out there. You can come see it. You're an anonymous fucking piece of shit in the middle of this fucking country or somewhere. And you get to just type your little fucking critiques. I just want to see one of them die. I want to see one of these guys or get cancer, not die, but like be dying, and have them send me like an email like, dude, I really bashed you, or I did this and that, but I'm dying of cancer and I've changed my whole attitude. Because I'll go to the hospital and I'll whisper in his ear. I'll be like, dude, I hope you die. I hope you die, and I hope it's in your family. And everybody gets it.
Jesus Christ, Bob.
No, I'll apologize about it tomorrow.
Holy shit.
Anyways,
no.
I just don't like those fucking guys. No. If you don't like, look, if I don't like somebody, don't follow. I don't follow people I don't like.
I hear you. And this is the thing. It's like, dude, I love getting fan messages on Facebook.
Fuck yeah.
I love that shit. MySpace, yeah. Whatever it is. Like, I love when somebody writes something nice to me.
Right.
It means the fucking world
to me.
Which
is the majority of them.
Yeah. Which means the world to me. But what kills me is like that Twitter thing. Man, you don't write anything funny. It's like, isn't it enough that you can fucking get to me at any moment of the day? You can IM me. You know when I'm online. It's like, what the fuck else do you want?
But we're not... You can understand, Twitter is brand new. It's 140 characters. We're not fucking professional Twitterers. We're stand-up comics. If you want to see what we do... If you want to see funny, you come to a fucking show.
Right.
And that's why I'm on Twitter. To let you know where the fuck I'm going to go. Someone actually bust my balls about promoting my shows. That's all you do is promote your shows. What the fuck do you think I'm on here for?
Yeah.
You fucking idiot.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. Is to let my fans, which you're not one of, apparently, to come see my shows live, because that's what I do. Stand-up comedy.
Right.
I didn't fucking get into the Twitter fucking comedy world. Let me be funny.
Right.
Because, you know, some of these famous people get on there and they're so fucking witty and fuck, which I don't give a fuck. I laugh at some of these guys. It's all they do is fucking, tweet jokes. That's cool.
Right.
But it's fucking, it gets annoying too.
Right.
It gets annoying. I'd like to know somebody's opinion on something. I'd like to see a fucking photo once in a while. Something. You know, I don't know, something else rather than that. Or I'd like to know where the fuck they're going to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just don't have the energy for it. I don't give a shit. If you do it, it works for you, good for you. But, like, I don't care. It just comes down to that. I don't give a fuck. I don't want to be online talking to people. I don't want to do it.
But Patrice stopped. I think he canceled his Facebook. He just has his Twitter now. Somebody else runs his Facebook. Louis C.K. only tweets... What's going on, and occasionally a drunk fucking rant about Sarah Palin.
Right.
There's certain guys at that point where they're, you know, but again, you know, when you're up at a certain area, or, you know, it's like I'd love to people just fill my shows, because then I wouldn't have to promote this shit, you know? But it's just not where you're at.
No, I really look forward to when I'm able to, like, shut it all down and just... go to the website and that's it, you know? Like, I look forward to that. I really do. It's weird. Again, I love the nice messages. I'm very appreciative. But it's weird when people can access you that easily. It's just weird to me. Like, I don't...
It's all fucking new, man. Yeah, they used to have to write a letter and fucking lick the envelope, get a stamp, go take a walk, put it in a fucking blue box, double check, make sure it went down, and never get anything back. Never know if it got to them. Never know. That's it. That's the way they used to have to do it. And in fucking 10 years, it's all changed.
Can you imagine having to sit and write replies to actual letters? Like, sit there and fucking write?
No, they never did that either. They had fucking people do that shit. used to have companies that would fucking read your fucking your mail and respond to it.
There had to be some guys that did it though, for real.
I don't know. I wouldn't. That would actually be more depressing because you'd probably get like one letter every year. Because my fans would never take. There's like 8 fans that would actually take the time to fucking write me a letter if that was the case.
Well, you know they're fucking diehards though if they did. You know what I mean?
I actually had fans send me birthday presents one year.
Really?
Yeah, I had fucking a. Because first of all, unlike you, who's Mr. And it bugs me.
What?
You throw yourself a birthday party every
year. Yeah, it's nice.
I don't fucking agree with it.
I don't. Listen, wait a minute. I throw myself a party. You make it sound like I rent a space out and get hats and fucking noisemakers and
kinda.
Shit. I tell everybody, come to this bar. It's my birthday. Let's get drunk. And they do. But yeah. That's it. I mean, what's so bad about
that? I've never had any fucking card, present, phone call from any of my friends. Ever.
I always call you on your birthday. You're lying.
You never got me nothing.
Did I? I thought I got you something last year.
Never got me nothing. Never took me out. I mean, I would think the guy like you would actually... You know who actually did something for me? Who's the guy who runs Punchline? Dylan?
Which, the San Francisco one?
No, Punchline Magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Dylan.
Dylan, yeah.
He actually fucking one year, the year my CD, two or three years ago, when my CD came out, bought me a cake and celebrated the birthday at Comics.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was really nice. I knew the guy for 2 months. The guy actually fucking hooked me up with a cake with my CD cover on it, like a specialized cake.
That's really nice. That's
really nice.
Oh, there you go.
There I go. What?
There's
I've known the guy fucking 2 months.
I dispute the fact that I didn't do anything for you for your birthday last year. I feel like something happened.
Let's just move on. You haven't. I'm putting it out there. Well, my birthday's October 8th.
Yeah, I'll do something for you this year.
I'm just saying. I've never had a surprise party. I've never had a party with.
Buy a little something nice.
No, I never had a surprise party. I'll say it again. I've never had a surprise party. I've never had a party at a bar. All right. I'm just saying.
I'm going to buy you a little something.
What am I,
a fucking party planner?
Well, you do it every year for you.
I just text people, and they like me, and they come. They come. I don't know who likes you and who doesn't. What do you want me to do here?
You just said it. Nobody likes me. If you threw me a party, it would be you.
Yeah.
It would be you and my wife anyway. So you're just going to cut to the chase.
You want to push me to answer you? Dude, I'm going to buy you a little sum this year.
All right, listen. You're headlining this week over at Gotham Comedy Club.
Yeah.
2 shows tonight.
Yes.
2 shows tomorrow.
3 tomorrow.
3 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Shit. Funny guy.
Thank you.
Yeah, a very funny guy, except when you fucking do jokes about me.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming on the podcast and hanging out.
I appreciate you having me, man. It's a fucking blast.
You were out all fucking day.
Oh,
trying,
Jesus Christ.
What did you do?
What is that thing? What the fuck is that?
That's a pocketbook holder.
How does that work?
You push that down like that. I can't explain it.
It's like a magnet?
Well, we're on the radio, Joe.
All right, sorry.
Jesus Christ, can you just fucking focus? The very end. Perfect ending.
Sorry.
And you fucked it up.
I'm sorry.
Jesus,
I get distracted.
Christ. Well, we were supposed to do this yesterday, but you couldn't do it today. Yeah, and you're the most neurotic person I know when it comes to clothes.
Uh-huh.
And when it comes to fucking wearing outfit, you have to ask everybody's opinion. You return shit all the time.
Uh-huh.
You spend most of your day just going back and returning and getting new stuff.
Yeah. I'm like my Nana. That's what my Nana does to get out of the house. I had two. Dude, I took the jacket out I'm going to wear tonight. I took it to H&M because I wanted to get ties for, like, cheap. I didn't feel like spending $60 on a fucking tie. So I went to H&M. I go, which tie matches this jacket? I made a guy pick it out. We went through all the ties. Then I went to 2 other stores, tried shirts, made the sales girls help me, didn't get anything. Then I went to Macy's with the ties, made 2 different sales girls help me put the outfit together. Then said, these are the color jeans I have at home. What do you think? And had them tell me which jeans to wear and all that shit.
You
retarded.
You have a gay gene in you.
Probably.
Yeah, you do have a gay gene in you.
It's called a cock.
That's awful. You're just awful. But
yeah, it's terrible. So anyway, come out. Hopefully will look nice for you tonight if you come to the show.
Yeah, that which I don't get either. I don't know why you were in a tie on fucking stage.
Because, dude, I look like you look good when you do the rock and rolly shit. When
what's rock and roll? I wear a t-shirt on stage.
But it looks kind of rock and rolly. You know what I mean? Like, I'm saying that sincerely. I'm not being a douche. Like, it's...
And you look like what?
And you look good. I look good on the... Like, during the week I do that. I wear t-shirts and shit. But on the weekends or from headlining and stuff, I dress it up a little. I look better, dude. And also, too, my act is so fucking negative. It helps.
I'm glad you said it.
It helps to dress it up a little bit.
I've actually felt bad after seeing your sets. Like, I just, like, leaving and I'm walking around and I'm just like, I don't feel good. Like, I just have to go home and nap. And then, like, I want to buy things. Like, just because I want to fill a hole. Like, you create, you're a hole creator. Is what
somebody
you're
trashed me the other day. Where was I? I was somewhere plugging my album and they were like, what's it called? And I go, the Depression Auction.
Yeah.
And they just fucking teed off on me. They're like, Jesus Christ, really? Sounds hilarious.
Yeah, they're going to sell a ton of those.
Oh, it was Marin. It was Marin's thing.
Oh, yeah, Marin.
Yeah, yeah, no, it sounds really funny, Joe. All right, great, you know. But yeah, anyway, come out tonight or tomorrow night to the game.
All right, go see Joe DeRosa Friday tonight, two shows. Tomorrow, three shows at Gotham Comedy Club. This has been the fucking...
Bob Podcast. Bobcast?
You know what, dude?
You know what, dude? The podcast.
Yeah,
it's my
dude.
Fucking podcast. You piece of shit.
Oh, what's the word?